Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
According to the American Cancer Society, only about 22% of women survive 5 years after being diagnosed with advanced stage breast cancer. It's the most common cancer among women. We're talking about some of the things that have changed in the world of breast cancer today. My guest is Charlotte Leboeuf. She's an award-winning health book author and a pioneer in the field of patient advocacy. Welcome to the show, Charlotte. Tell us a little bit about breast cancer. What's changing, do you think? I did the Avon Walk a few years ago, and I must say it was one of the most touching emotional moments I've ever had. It was amazing. All these women coming together. What's going on in the world today?
Well, Melanie, first of all, thank you for having me on and to talk about this important topic. And I'm really excited to talk about it. You know, you are actually my first radio interview that I'm doing on my new book, Da Vinci's Cancer Survival Guide, because it will actually just come out in February for Cancer Awareness Month. And I found out so many new things when I was researching it. One of the things is that even though breast cancer is a very scary topic, the good news is that today there's nearly 3 million breast cancer survivors living in the United States, mostly due to early detection, and that about 90% overall of women with breast cancer will survive at least 5 years or more, which is extremely, extremely impressive. However, we also have to remember that there are 40,000 women a year who die from the disease.
Well, that's the thing. It is scary. I know women, I'm sure you do, it's like one in three women. I mean, it's just, they say one in eight women in the U.S. will develop and
yes.
breast cancer, but one in three will be touched by it at some point in their life. And yesterday I was discussing the controversy over mammograms and how the task force was coming out saying every other year. Me, I'm not listening to them. I'm getting my mammogram every year. I don't care what they say.
Good for you. It is, you know, it's a really, I started my career really writing about heart disease in women. And I have to tell you that heart disease in a lot of ways is a much easier disease to write about and to talk about. Breast cancer is more challenging, and there are a lot of different guidelines, a lot of different conflicting studies. One thing that I always tell women is find a doctor that you trust and talk to the doctor about your individual risk factors for breast cancer and come up with an individual screening test schedule that makes sense for you.
I think
there
so,
are,
too.
There are a lot of changes.
No, and keep
another,
going.
Go on. Well, there's another big change in the whole topic of self-exams, which we used to talk a lot about when we talked about breast cancer. And again, like you mentioned, there are different guidelines, and even the Susan G. Komen organization has backed away from the idea of formal monthly self-breast exams. But I have to also tell you that I can't tell you the number of women who noticed changes in their breasts and talked to it and brought those concerns to their doctor. So whether you're doing a formal breast exam, and there are new guidelines for that and new ways to do that, which are on the American Cancer Society website, or if basically you're doing what you always should do, which is basically to know your body, to know what your breasts should feel like and look like, just like you should know how, just generally how you feel and bring changes to your doctor. That's a very important thing to keep in mind. And then please.
I think another thing is when you bring this up and you're a pioneer in the field of advocacy, and it's what I do too, Charlotte, and health advocacy, being our own best health advocate and knowing our bodies, knowing those changes, and whether you do those monthly self-exams or whether you just get to know the lumps and bumps that do make up our breasts, and the fact that some people have dense ones and we're going through perimenopause or some people are already in it. Getting to know your body is one of the single best ways, and the people that I know that have breast cancer found it themselves for the most part.
Absolutely. Another thing I like to mention also is that even though a breast lump is the most common sign of breast cancer, it's not the only one. So any changes in the breast or nipple area, such as redness or dimpling or puckering or some kind of fluid or discharge, are also areas of concern that you should bring to your doctor.
Well, I think that's an important point, is discussing these things with your doctor. And when we're talking about treatment, women always ask, and they ask me because I talk to so many doctors from City of Hope and Cancer Treatment Center and all of these things. And yes, when you mentioned heart disease, I'm an exercise physiologist, so I've known all these years.
We deal
with heart disease. We know how to deal with it. You go see a cardiologist, but women get that cancer thing and they say, okay, now who do I call? I need to call the most advanced center. What do I do? What kind is it? What do you tell women when they go, who do I go to first?
Well, there's a couple of things. One thing is, of course, buy my book, but you can't do that till February. So one of the things that people don't know about, in fact, I was telling a friend of mine that had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had no idea about this, is that the American Cancer Society has a very good program called Cancer Navigation, and they will assign to you a breast cancer navigator, actually a navigator, I think, in other types of cancer as well. Because when you get that diagnosis, your mind goes blank. Anybody's mind would go blank. I think the most important thing is to first take a deep breath, to remember that in very, 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 very rare, only very rare cases do you have to immediately do something, you know, like go into surgery or something like that. That's very rare. There is some breathing time. And the most important thing to do is not to panic, to look at your different options. Go to the American Cancer Society website. They have a category called Cancer Centers of Excellence. And Cancer Centers of Excellence are cancer centers that have met criteria, have some of the latest equipment, and also have avenues for research that could become important for some people, especially later down the road. They also have this Cancer Navigator program where they'll assign you someone to help you navigate the tricky, I think some people have even called it the new kind of landscape that if you are diagnosed with cancer, you'll be involved with, because you will be called upon to make decisions. And the more information you know, the better decisions you'll make. And those decisions will be important right from the get-go.
I think so, too. And I also think that women are seeing more and more in the media about the BRCA gene and its link to ovarian and breast cancer. And there are so many women I know, and myself included, are saying, should I go get tested for this gene? Should I? What if I find out I have it? What am I going to do? Like Angelina, am I going to get a mastectomy? What am I going to do if I find out? So the genetic component coming into this, increasing our risk, and all the things we women deal with on a daily basis anyway, give us your last best piece of advice, and then say the name of your book again. In all of this world, and October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, give us your best advice.
Okay, well, I'll do it for genetics since you brought that up. And this is not only for cancer. This is for women and men all around, because like you said, there's so much information that comes at us.
And we only have 30 seconds more now.
Do your family history. Do your medical family history. Find out what your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, and your cousins died of. Go to a site. There's a genetic testing site. You'll just go up, look for genetic testing, family medical history on the web, find a template form, and you can also look and find out what it means when certain relatives have certain different constellations of diseases. That's your blueprint to find out what genetic test you need.
Oh, that's a great idea. Absolutely great advice. And if you missed any of it, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well and stay tuned.